Go ahead and open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. And boy, we so enjoyed being here this week. I want to thank the church so much for the nice hotel room, the accommodations. Hadn't the missionaries been great this week? I'll tell you what, every one of those, the presentations this week have been second to none. All I can say, there's one word that really to me described that presentation tonight: exciting. It was exciting, man. And I'll tell you what, all them faces of you all over, I mean, that was like the singular bars, you know, I thought AT&T. But that was great. Cheryl and I were up in Manhattan in August. We went up there for 3 days. And I'll tell you what, I grew up right across the river in New Jersey. And just what a great, great and awesome need. And you know, New York, people in the city get a lot of hard pressed because of their attitudes and things like that. But really, when you go up there, I think you find people that are really open to talk and to really be real frank and honest with you. And so I think there's a great opportunity to reach people for Christ there if you're willing really to go there. I mean, it's the most expense. It's just unbelievable. Someone was telling me how much like 1 square foot of real estate. I don't even remember how much money it was. It's like $1,000 to $2,000 for a square foot in an apartment or something. Just unbelievable. And so, just what a great opportunity. Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. And as we've been looking at the church at Philippi, this great missionary church, we come to the last chapter in the book tonight. And I want to go ahead and I want to begin reading in verse number 10. And Philippians chapter 1, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse number 10 here at the end of this book tonight. Paul said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's just go to the Lord before this final message tonight. Father, thank you so much, God, that you gave us this record of this wonderful church from the first century, Lord, in the city of Philippi in Greece. And Father, tonight, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, and Father, as we come to this final night of mission conference, God, in this final chapter, in this small letter to this great church, Father, I pray that you would just complete the circuit tonight and, God, bring us to a conclusion, Lord, and really the practical conclusion of what missions, Lord, as we prepare and as we come together and as we see people yield and we see people surrender, God. And, Father, as we live lives worthy of the gospel and as we exalt and lift up Jesus Christ, Lord, and we get His mind for missions, Lord, it comes down to this. It's sending people out with the gospel, Lord. Sending them to across the world, across our country, Father. And God, not just sending them with words, but with our prayers, Lord. And also with our giving, Lord, and with our support as well. And so tonight I pray that you would instruct us in your word, God, that you would motivate us, challenge our hearts, Lord, Father, to be that great missionary church like that church in Philippi. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we come to our final message in this series on the church of Philippi, the great missionary church, the Lord brings before us, really in chapter 4 here, the important subject of missionary giving. He's brought all these things to our mind, and all through the book we've drawn out all these principles and all this understanding of missions. And right here at the end, the rubber really hits the road, and Paul just starts talking about one of the great things about this church, how they had been a faithful supporter of his. You know, in this chapter is one of the greatest verses in the Bible talking about the faithfulness of God. Verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And how many of us have looked at that verse, and how many of us have gotten encouragement in time of need and in time when we've had special needs in our life, and it's reminded us of the faithfulness of God. But church, we need to remember something tonight. The context in which that promise is given is to a church that was a great missionary church. A church that was faithfully standing behind Paul. A church that he could say in chapter 1 in verse 3 that I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This was a church that Paul, that had stood with him, that had sent him out, that had supported him. And now he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." You know, giving is a blessing. Paul quoted Jesus as saying this, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." I thought about this week how Pastor Dan reminded us of this, that God has blessed us in order to be a what? A blessing. That's what Paul is saying here. We have been blessed, and we're blessed with all spiritual riches in Christ Jesus. And he says, you're blessed to have a God who will meet all your needs. But he said, you did well, because you sent once and again to my necessity. You communicated to my need. And folks, tonight I want to close the conference and speak on this message in chapter 4, the fourfold blessing of missionary giving. The first thing I want you to notice tonight, missions giving is a blessing because it meets the obvious thing. It meets the necessity of the missionary. Look what he said here in verses 15 and 16. He said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," that means when he first came into Greece, the first city he arrived at was Philippi. And when he left Philippi, after gathering and starting this small church there, he went down the road and he went to the city of Thessalonica, and he said this, "In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, from your area," he said, "no other church communicated or shared with me concerning giving and receiving." He said, "but only you did it. For even in Thessalonica," which was the major city south of there, he said, "you sent once and again to my necessity." This church had started supporting Paul many years earlier, and we find in verse 10, for some reason, there was a period of time where they had lacked the opportunity to send him a gift. Look what he said in verse 10. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last," now notice this, "your care of me," and he uses this word, "has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Here's a church when Paul started out in his missionary endeavor in Greece, that they started supporting him right away. Well, as the years have elapsed, it was probably about 12 years since Paul had started this church, and by the time he's writing back to them, there was some period of time where they had not had opportunity to send to him. But now, as Paul was a prisoner in Rome, as Paul was sitting there in Rome and had taken his ministry out of Greece and into Italy, he wrote this letter because he was so thankful that they had begun to support him again. They had sent again to his necessity, and Paul described it like this. He said, "Your care of me has flourished again." You know, that word flourish, it has the idea of a plant that's beginning to bring forth and bud after laying dormant for a cold winter. Here's Paul, this missionary. He's been faithful to carry the gospel across the world. He's in Rome. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ because of his preaching of the gospel. And as he's sitting there, Epaphroditus, this man comes to him and he brings this offering, this gift, and he says, this is from the church in Philippi. And Paul described it in this word flourish, that it was like his heart just began to bloom like at the beginning of spring. It was an encouragement to Paul. Paul was inspired and encouraged by their gift. You know, our giving to missionaries, it's not just a paycheck. And I want you to understand this. It's not just a paycheck to keep food on the table. Although it is a paycheck to keep food on the table. It's not just that. To Paul, he said, it's not that I desire a gift so much. It's the fact that Paul understood there was a blessing that his needs were being met, his necessity was being met by these people that were so far away, yet they loved him and they cared for him and they showed it through their financial support. Now, I want to say this, just take a few minutes for those of you that may be new to this church and may be new to this whole concept of missions. You say, where exactly do these missionaries get their paycheck? They don't get a paycheck from any person or place that takes them on. They don't graduate from college and then they set their pay and they send them out and they give them their plan, their health plan and their retirement plan. They basically, by faith, after they've determined in their heart that this is what they feel like they ought to be doing for God, and they go and God's leadership is in their life, here's what they basically do. They spend an average of 2 or 3 years going around the country doing just what they're doing tonight. Presenting their work to churches, and those churches deciding and praying whether they're going to take them on for support or not. Your church is unusual. You decide before they ever get here that you're going to support them and how much. Many churches they go to, they never support them. They go in there, they present their work, they go on, they never receive support. And they have to figure out what that targeted amount of money is, and then once they have that targeted amount, now they're ready to go ahead and prepare and to leave for the field. It's a very, very difficult task. And as they're in places around the world, imagine today that you're a missionary in Europe. You're a missionary in Italy. And the dollar's devaluing and the euro's going up. Basically, every morning when they wake up, they're getting a pay cut. Every morning. And they can't go out and get another job. An American can't work over there. And it's not like there's churches here when the euro's going up and the dollar's going down and churches are looking at that every morning and say, we got to increase their support today. You know, the dollar's going down. That's what they do, right? No, they don't do that. You see, what they're taking on is a great burden. But Paul said, I rejoice because your care of me has flourished once again. Paul said, you're a blessing to me. Missionaries, folks, are worthy of our support. Look what Paul said about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning in verse 7. Paul asked some questions. He goes, who goes a warfare at any time at his own charges? What person volunteers and joins the army and then they pay their own way to go fight the war? He said, no one does that. Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat from the fruit of the vineyard? Who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? He's saying, you know what? When people labor, there's a reciprocation, there's a payment, there's an expectation in giving that you'll receive. Now, Paul said this, say I these things as a man only, or doesn't the law or the Old Testament say it also? And they said this in verse number 9. For it's written in the law of Moses in the Old Testament, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. And he said this, does God take care for oxen? He said there's a principle in the Old Testament that if you're going to hook an oxen up to a treading machine and it's going to go in circles and it's going to tread out this corn, there was a law in the Old Testament. You don't muzzle the mouth of the oxen. You let the oxen eat the corn. If the oxen's going to do the work, it ought to receive some benefit and strength and support and encouragement from the work that it's doing. Then he said this in verse 10. In verse 9 he said, does God care for oxen? Is God just saying this because God loves oxen so much that he's just consumed with oxen, just wants us to take care of the oxen? Or verse 10, or say it thee altogether for our sakes. He said he's saying it for our sakes, no doubt this is written. Why? That he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that threshes in hope, should he be partaker of his hope. You know what God's saying? If someone's going to plow, if they're going to put their hand to the gospel plow, if they're going to thresh, if they're going to work the fields of this world, they ought to do it in the hope that people will stand behind them and will support them. Verse 11, if we, these missionaries, have sown unto us their spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? You know what he said? If we're giving our life to meet the spiritual needs of people across the world, is it really a hard thing to expect that people are going to stand and meet our physical needs while we are surrendering ourselves to meet the spiritual needs of people? That they might plow in hope, that they might thresh in hope. You know what? Missions giving is such a blessing. Why? Because it meets the necessity of the missionary. Man, it's not just about how excited we can get about how much we can give or how sacrificial we are or how great our church is to give. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that these missionaries feel the support of this church, the encouragement of this church, and that every time we are giving a missionary offering, man, we are sowing hope into the lives of missionaries on the other end of the world that are receiving the gift that we're giving to them. We're sowing in hope. Mission giving is a blessing because it meets the necessity of the missionary. But notice the second thing. Missions giving is a blessing because it brings God's light and His blessing to those that hear the message. Look what Paul said in verse number 17. He thanked them so much. I'll thank them. He was so thankful. Verse 16, you sent to my necessity. He was so joyful. But then look at verse 17. He said, I'm not so happy because I desire a gift. Although I do like eating. I'm sure that's in the Greek somewhere. Not that I desire a gift, but look what he said. But I desire, and he used the interesting word, fruit that may abound to your account. You know, the word fruit is one of the most familiar words in the Bible. It's used in the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, the word fruit. And it's also in the last chapter of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. The word fruit is used throughout the Bible. It's used over 200 times. It's a very common word. And what it means in this context, in the sense Paul's using it here, it has to do with the product of your labor. Fruit is what's the conclusion? What's the product? What's the result of what's going on? You know what Paul said? I'm so thankful that you're supporting what I'm doing and that you're supporting missionaries because you know what? There's going to be a product out of what I'm doing. There's going to be fruit that comes out of this. There's going to be people that get saved. There's going to be Christians, the souls that were saved through his ministry, the growth of believers that would be taught the Word of God. That was fruit. That was fruit. You see, when we give to missions, it's a blessing because you understand there's a result in the lives of the people that receive the message that we're sending out of here tonight. Go over to John chapter number 15. I want you to look at this principle in John 15 about the life of God. Jesus uses this word fruit repeatedly in this chapter, talking about the relationship of God to His people in this context. He said this. Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father's the husbandman. Now, Israel was the vine, but Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. He's the farmer. And look what he says. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then he says this, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know what he said? The word brought cleansing. The word brought change in the lives of these people he's talking to. And then he said, now that you've been cleaned, here's what you need to do. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Why? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. He said, you know what? There's not a branch laying on the ground everywhere severed from a tree that's bearing fruit. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, he said, you cannot bring fruit unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I love this verse. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, as missionaries go forth and they plant the Word of God in the lives of those that hear the Word and receive the Word, the life of God is planted in them. And their lives become fruitful to God. They become the fruit of that missionary. They become the fruit of this church. And here's what Paul said. It's not a money issue. It's a fruit issue. It's a fruit issue. You have given to my necessity. You have communicated. You've brought joy to my heart because you're meeting my necessity. But you know what? You are bringing the life and blessing of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is being planted throughout the world in the lives of people who never knew Jesus Christ. It's fruit. And I love this. He said, it's fruit that's going to abound to your account. It's fruit that's out there. But he says, not only are they being blessed, he said, but you know what? You're going to be a blessed also. It's going on your account. And one day as you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and as the blessing of God is being poured out because of your lives of service to me, he's saying, you know what? Every person that was reached through my ministry, every soul that was saved, every person that was grounded and taught in the Word of God, every person where the life of God took root and the life of God bore fruit and the life of God began to flourish. He said, that's fruit that's going on your account. That's a blessing, folks. That's the blessing of our giving. It's not just about the money. It's about the fruit. It brings God's life and His blessing to the hearers. It produces fruit. And notice this third thing. Missions giving is also a blessing because it also supplies the needs of those of us that are giving. You say, how in the world does that work? You remember that great promise was made to those who were faithfully giving to missions. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God gives this promise that what? My God, Paul said, personally, I'm well acquainted with Him. I know this. He is going to supply all of your need. And He's going to do it out of the abundance according to His riches and glory. And I'm glad He didn't say out of His riches and glory, but according to it. You know, a millionaire or a multimillionaire, a billionaire, he could come up and you know what? He could run into one of these missionaries and he could say, you know what, Michael? I'm a billionaire. I got lots of money and I'm going to support you out of my billions. Here's $5. See, it's not according to, is it though? If He's going to support you according to His riches, man, who knows what He's going to give you. But He's not in here, so don't get too excited over that. You know what He says? My God is going to bless you according to His riches in glory. But my God shall supply all your need. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's on the screen, but I want you to turn over there also. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want you to look at this. There's some principles here. We're given several principles concerning a missionary offering, concerning giving to these missionaries. And we're going to look at these, and I want you to just quickly get some of these principles in your mind in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. In verse number 5, he talks about this offering that they were gathering, this grace gift. He said, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and they would make up beforehand your bounty or this offering you put together. Whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness. He said, I want to get this ready beforehand so you're not doing this at the last minute. And then he starts saying, he's writing this letter to this church. He's saying, I'm sending these people. They're going to receive this offering that you had talked about, that we're going to go ahead and we're going to distribute to these people over here in Judea that have this great need, this great gift for those outside of our local work, a missions gift. And he said, but we want to make it up ahead of time. But he said, as you prepare the offering, take some things into consideration. He says, first of all, in verse 6, here's the first thing, the principle. We reap in proportion to what we sow. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, folks, he's not talking about someone here who's making $200 a week and they're given everything they can and it's a dollar a week. That might be their bounty. It's not a matter of comparison from one person to the other. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of my giving out of my heart. What's the principle? You sow in proportion to what we reap from our heart. Look at verse 7. He said, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Here's the second principle. Every one of us should be involved in giving. Every man. Every person. I thought it was a tremendous blessing that this year, 180-something units gave to missions in this church sometime during a month for this whole year. And that was an increase of like 120 people from the year before. And now the goal is set this year for 220 givers to give to mission. You know what that means? Minus the people that left this year and maybe moved on or whatever, that were in that 180 givers. That means there's at least 40 to 50 new units in this church that need to start giving to missions. Something. You say, well, I don't have thousands of dollars to give. Give a dollar. You realize the multiplication that if everyone is giving something, then no one has to give everything? That's the part. That's the joy of it. That's why we're a body. When everyone does a small part, no one has to do a great part. We give. Every one of us should give. Paul said, every man, according as he purposes, so let him give. Paul had an expectation that everyone was going to be involved, and everyone would want to get involved. You say, why is that? Because he said in another place, I'm not speaking this by commandment. This isn't a legalistic thing I'm saying you have to do. He said, I'm speaking it that you'll do it out of love. But he said, every one of you, Paul just knew these people love the Lord, and they'd want to do it. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, he said, so let him give. And that third thing we see here is every one of us should be involved in the giving, but we should give according to the desire of our heart. He said, every one of you should give according as you purpose in your heart. Paul just believed people were going to want to do it out of their heart. He just believed people were going to want to get involved. Everyone gives. Everyone gives according to the desire of their own heart. And he said, we should give willingly. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you understand the spirit of this giving here? Do you understand? Do you see what he's saying? I don't want you to do this simply out of a guilt trip that you have to, but you know what? It's a blessing to give. Amen. He said, don't give grudgingly. Give because you want to. Give according as you purpose in your heart. But every one of you get involved. But remember this, the blessing is in proportion to the sowing. You reap according as you sow. You see, we're to give out, and this important thing also, you don't just pray and pick a number out of the air. Well, God, what should I give? $1,000. I'm going to give it. I saw it on the billboard. $1,000. You know what? That's not true, because in the chapter back in 2 Corinthians 8:12, Paul said this, for if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has and not according to what he hath not. You know what God's saying? I don't expect something out of you you don't have. It's not pulling a number out of the sky. It's giving according to what you have. It's sitting down and looking at your finances and sharpening the pencil and saying, but you know what it does mean though? It does mean maybe there's some things in the budget that are being spent over here that really should be being spent over here. Amen. It may be you don't need 192 channels of cable. Maybe you only need 104 channels of cable. I don't know how it works. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't need 16 sports channels. You can get by with, you know, three or four anyway. You know, suffer for Jesus and give the money to the missionaries. You see, this is what he's saying. You understand? He's saying everyone according as you purpose in your heart. Why? Because missions giving is a blessing because it supplies the needs of the giver. But my God shall supply all your need. Why? You've been so faithful, Paul said, to stand behind me. You see, when we're meeting these biblical obligations of missions giving, we can bank that God is not going to put us in a situation where He is not going to provide for our need. God's going to meet our needs. He's going to meet our needs. How? Not out of His riches, according to His riches. Paul said, but my God, look at that last verse, verse 8. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Paul's talking to him. He's telling him about this offering. He's saying you're going to reap what you sow. He's going to say, I want every one of you involved. I don't want you to be grumpy about this. I want you to decide in your heart. Give out of what you have. And you know what? My God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Folks, we don't give in order to get. But when we give, God takes care of us. It's part of the blessing cycle of missions. Missions giving is a blessing because it meets the needs of the people that are giving, as well as the people that are going. And this last thing, I want you to go back to Philippians 4. And this is the most exciting thing to me about the whole thing about the blessing of missionary giving. And I think it's the part that's often the most overlooked. Missions giving is a blessing because it brings joy to the heart of God. Look what Paul said here in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 18. Philippians 4 and verse number 18. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full. He said, man, you have done so well to me. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now look how he described this missionary gift. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable. Well-pleasing to God. You know what? Although we may see our missionary giving as a gift to the missionary, the Bible teaches us in a very real way that that gift is going to God. You know, you see this in the death of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says this, and walk in love. Now notice these words. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Now notice these words, please. And He has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know what? Jesus died for us, but He did it as an act of worship to the Father. Our missionary offering is to the missionary. It's for the missionary, but it's an act of worship to God. Although Jesus' death on the cross was for us, it was not given to us. It was given to God. And here's the thing where we really need to understand and get to in our missionary giving. Our missions giving, we're not giving it to these missionaries. That's too short-sighted. That's not an act of worship. That's a paycheck. Man, that's feeling bad because they have a need. It's an offering for them, given to God. And Paul said it's an odor of a sweet smell. That word odor means fragrance. You know what God's favorite brand of perfume is? Missionary offering. How about that? Paul said, I've received your missionary offering. He said, it's an odor, it's a fragrance. He said, it's a sweet-smelling fragrance. He said, it's a sacrifice that's acceptable. He said, it's well-pleasing to God. Think about this. God is personally affected by our missionary giving. We see God as someone who's unaffected. He's just up there, you know, he wound the clock. We're down here messing everything up, and one day he's going to get tired, stand up, come down here, blow the whole thing over and start over again, right? Set up his kingdom. He's just up. No. Paul is saying here, Paul's given us a revelation of truth in the Word of God, that when I give a gift in this spirit of what this is talking about, this missionary church, he said that it's an offering, it's an odor, it's a fragrance in the nostrils of God, just like the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was on the cross. God is moved by us. God is emotionally moved by what we do. I love this verse, this obscure verse in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah said, "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love." Now notice this. "He will joy over thee with singing." You ever thought of God just up in heaven just singing over us because he's so happy with us? That's hard to comprehend, but that's true. Paul understood that. He said that missionary gift, my God, he says, is going to supply all your need. Why? Because of the blessing of what you're doing. It's a blessing to the necessity of the missionary. It's a blessing when the life of God is received into the lives of the people that get the Word of God. It's a blessing to you because God's able to make all grace abound to you. Why? He's going to bless you to be a blessing. And then he said this, the greatest motivation of all. It's a blessing because it brings personal joy to the heart of God. Man, there's a fourfold blessing of missionary giving. Folks, we need to be all in on it this year. 220 givers, that's the goal this year. Here's what I want to challenge you. If you gave last year, keep on giving. Keep on being faithful. If you haven't entered into this level of Christian living to be able to give a sacrificial offering repeatedly and consistently for the sake of the gospel, this is the year to begin. Start somewhere. In 1989, the church I was in went to this type of support for missionary. I was a Bible college student. And I remember that year I decided I'd give $5 a week to missions. That was like $240, something like that, a year. And to me at that time, that was a huge amount of money. But I just can't tell you over the years how God has been able to multiply that. And how even in times when it seems so hard that we would not be able to do what we'd want to do, how God has allowed us to do what we want to do and to be able to consistently give. You say, why is that? Because God just receives the joy of seeing us stand behind that which is closest to His heart, which we've been looking and talking about this entire week. Folks, I want to challenge you. Get involved. Get in on the blessing of missionary giving this year. Amen. Brother Dan.